itself. Now, you can see on the y-axis is the mean amount of filter paper eaten up by the termites. 50 termites were allowed to feed for 15 days, and then these filter paper discs were weighed before the termites were put inside the system, and once the termites were taken out after the 15 days, we weighed them again. So here we can see that on ribose 5% and xylose 3%, there is significantly higher feeding compared to the control, which is hexafluoride alone. Now, before we go any further in the fun stuff of uptake and horizontal transfer, in 2005, Hagasma and Rust concluded by their study on hexafluoride that the threshold concentration required for the termites to die is about 114 nanograms plus minus 43.2 nanograms per termite. So this is the range between 75 nanograms to 150 nanograms is what you need for that effect to have on the termites, so the chitin synthesis inhibitor, inhibition of the chitin synthesis, basically. And two important things to keep in mind, and I can't overemphasize that, and it looks very simple, but sometimes it's easily lost, that donor termites, if it's having certain amount in its body, it's always going to transfer less amount of that from that amount to the any recipient to any recipient termite. It's true for at least 1-to-1 ratio. And second thing is just a hypothesis that if the termites are having this higher titer of hexafluoride in their body at that point, when they're molting, and that will inhibit the chitin synthesis, and you will see an effect on the termite body. And once, if they're able to excrete in between that period and they go below this threshold level, they might go free. So their continuous feeding or the continuous presence of that hexafluoride in their body is required. And that's just my opinion. That may be true. Well, here are the results for the uptake of the hexafluoride and hexafluoride in combination with different sugars. The x-axis represents the days when the termites were sampled after feeding on this treated disc for 15 days. And on each sampling period, we took out the 10 termites and analyzed them on scintillation counter. Y-axis represents the amount of hexafluoride on the body of individual termites. What you can see here is, as early as 3 days, the amount of hexafluoride in the body of the termites which were fed on the hexafluoride in combination with xylose has significantly higher amounts. At day 6, it reached to the maximum, and then it stabilized. However, it took about 9 days to reach to the maximum when they were feeding on hexafluoride alone paper. So what it tells is that they acquire this hexafluoride up to the twice as much as they would acquire in the hexafluoride alone in 6 days when they are fed with something in presence of xylose. Now, well, we want to see what is the effect of this enhanced uptake on the transfer of this hexafluoride in the termite nest mats or the individuals. So the donor termites were allowed to feed on one on all the four treatments, hexafluoride alone and hexafluoride in combination of one of the three sugars, all the three sugars basically. And they were allowed to feed for 7 days, and and these discs were dyed blue, so we know that they're fed on these sugars and they have the hexafluoride on their body, and they're mixed in the ratio of 1-to-1, 15 donor, 15 recipient termites, mixed for 7 days, and then 10 termites were sampled after the 7 days from each from donor and recipient. Now here we see that another set of results of this horizontal transfer. The donors are represented by blue bar, and recipients are represented by white bar. What we see here on the x-axis are all those four treatments, and right away you can see the amount of hexafluoride on the body of the donors which are feeding on the hexafluoride in the presence of xylose has significantly higher amounts of nanograms. They have about like 325 nanograms on their body compared to 250 nanograms. Now you can see that initial gap of 2.54 has decreased over a period of time, and one of the reason is because you are looking at these termites once they were taken out of the hexafluoride or feeding on the hexafluoride for 7 days, now, and then they were taken out and you are looking at them after the 7 days. So in the meantime, they have excreted some amounts. But the take-home message is that they were able to transfer significantly higher amounts to the recipient termites also. And another thing here is that though they have about 3 times as much hexafluoride on their body, they are not able to transfer all of that to the recipients. Probably in 1-to-1 ratio, probably they may be able to transfer to some other individuals. We are not sure, but at least it comes about to 15 to 25%. then looking at the mortality, the termites were allowed to feed. Now, since we know that the xylose is the key there, 3% xylose, so we tested the 3% xylose treated hexafluoron compared to the simple hexafluoron and against the control. So x-axis represents the, again, the treatments, and we fed the termites for 5 days, took them out, put them in the fresh dishes, and given the fresh paper towel, and then we observed the mortality after 25 days. What we see here, the percent mortality is significantly higher when they eat on hexafluoron in presence of xylose compared to hexafluoron alone, and they come close to 50, there is a 50% mortality in those treatments compared to around 30% mortality in the hexafluoron alone. Now, another thing we did is extended this, another experiment on the same lines, but here we continue, the feeding was continuous for 15 days and the mortality was recorded after, 15 days. X-axis again represents the treatments, hexafluoron alone and in presence of xylose. And what we see is the percent mortality now has touched around 70% and is still significantly higher than in the hexafluoron alone. So, at the end, I will conclude that the phagostimulants can enhance the uptake of an IGR in these bed matrix systems, especially it's true for western subterranean termites. And the IGRs are more easily transferred to nest, more efficiently transferred to nest mess when there is a high titer level on their body or inside their body. And enhanced uptake and transfer lead to higher percent mortality. We have just seen that. And the continuous feeding on the baits with IGR is very crucial. At the end, I would like to acknowledge Dr. Rust, Dr. Clarks, and all the urban entomology lab members at UC Riverside. Any questions?
Gary Burnin, my co-moderator, told me that about 3 years ago, he made a proposal to the governing board and the ESA president at that time that we expand our outreach and include South America and Canada with our own organization, and we could call it the Entomological Society of the Americas. And he was told at that time that it was going to be too much expense because it would cost $10,000 to change all the logos, and that alone would make this suggestion untenable. But I was thinking they could do it a lot cheaper if everybody would just promise to make changes where changes were needed. The idea of having an international branch came from the governing board. Scott Hutchins gave me this information.